I'm used to winning. I've always won. So, and then be in situations like when you go up 16 or you're in position to win, and you should win. It's disappointing.
That's Kyler Murray. You can hear the frustration in his voice. I'm used to winning. There was a during the last part, I think it was in the second half of that game. Maybe it was the first half. I'm not sure. And I tried not to pay too much attention to the broadcasters on that game on television
because
it was Chris Myers and Daryl Johnston, who can't even say Cliff Kingsbury's last name right.
No, I'm with you.
But they brought up a point about 49ers and the kind of players they look for. And they said, do you look for guys who love winning or hate losing? And they said, we look for guys that hate losing. And it really, if you take that logic and apply it to Kyler Murray, I don't know if he hates losing.
Yeah.
Because how can you hate something you've never really experienced in your life that much?
Well, maybe that's why, because he hates it so much.
Maybe, but he's learning how to deal with losses this year.
Well,
and of the frustrating variety, yesterday might be at the top of the last 2 weeks have been, on a scale of 1 to 10, frustrating 10 plus.
Yes. The frustration has been 10 plus for successive weeks. Last week was attributed mostly to the officiating and what a lot of people on the Cardinals thought was a classic jobbing from the NFL. But in this situation, I think this is different. This is Kyler Murray ticked off at the other guys in the room that they cannot close down a game. According to On the Scene reporting, apparently he just screamed at one point in the locker room.
Yeah, just let out a scream of frustration.
Yeah, he was that. And that'll leave a mark.
But I said this, and we're going to go to the phones in a second at 602-260-9870. I'm not completely absolving the offense on this either. Because at this point of the season, you know what your deficiency is as a football team. And it's the defense.
Yeah.
The offense has scored more than 27 points once this year. They won that game. I think you have to up your goal offensively on what you're trying to do. You need to get to 34, 35 points if you want to have a chance to win games.
Yeah.
With this defense, 24, 25, 26 points is not going to do it week in, week out. It's just the reality of it. And this offense has not shown the ability to be consistent enough to do that either because they've shot themselves in the foot. They had, on their first possession, a chance at a touchdown. It got called back because of penalty, and they had to settle for another field goal.
Mm-hmm.
Missed an extra point, leaving points on the board.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. But I would also say that in the bigger context, when you can score 25 against the 49ers in successive games, 25 or more in successive games, that's an offense that's producing. And I think that for a rookie quarterback and a first-year head coach in a new system, it's producing. Yeah, they're leaving points on the board. There's no doubt about that. But at least they're trending in the right direction. I would agree.
They're
no finished product, but
no.
You know, they're 11 weeks into a new regime and a new quarterback. So all things considered, I think the offense is working, even though they're not perfect.
602-260-9870. We start out today going out to Gilbert and Tom here on Bickley and Murata on this Big Red Monday. What's up, Tom?
Good morning, gentlemen. And again, thank you for allowing me to participate in the greatest radio show in the universe. So here's my first takeaway from yesterday's game, and that is hashtag Bonnie and Clyde. Could it even be remotely a little bit truer when they go to the bank and cash a $350,000 game check? That was the first thing. The next thing was the best tackle of the day was Larry Fitzgerald after Farrell Cooper's touchdown. Best tackle of the day. And that screams to how bad your defense is. Six screenplays, six, on the four touchdown drives were thrown for over 140 yards. The ball did not travel more than 2 yards, plus or minus, from the line of scrimmage. And Jimmy G had 140 yards on those six pass plays during those four touchdown drives, all by himself. That's 40% of his day's total. So as much as his numbers look great, six plays accounted for 140 yards. That's ridiculous. Now, the two key plays, third and five in that last offensive possession, true offensive possession, Kyler Murray from the shotgun takes a three-step drop, and then runs back 6 more yards. Man, that play has got to be dialed in. You are 3rd and 5. You plant your back foot. You hit a quick slant. You run out the clock. Even if you complete the pass short of the first down, you're taking another 30 seconds off the clock. And then that zero blitz. Now, I'm not a coach in the NFL with a clicker and watching the tape, but here's some things you don't do. One, you don't drop your best pass rusher on a zero blitz in the coverage. Two, you don't take your best coverage linebacker and rush him. And then three, you don't leave Hassan Reddick to cover the 19-yard line. None of that made sense. None of it. The fact they scored the touchdown, all that did was emphasize this simple fact. After taking a 16-0 lead, that defense was outscored, that team, care of the defense, was outscored 30-10. Love you guys. I had more to say, but I don't know, just frustrated. Have a great week. I'll see you in a couple weeks. Enjoy your time.
Yeah, get out of the way of that truck that's backing up, bro.
I think a cement truck was about to hit him, right?
I know. Yeah, it's a good thing that he ejected, committed. Man. Right? Let me say this about Vance Joseph and that controversial play. Not to excuse him, because I did not like the call, but when you're a defensive coordinator and you're dealing with inferior pieces, it becomes a chess game that's very, very hard to win, and it leads to trying things that don't work. You talk about recurring issues. This team getting gouged on screen passes, recurring issue. Tight ends, recurring issue. Secondary, recurring issue. It's brutal.
Pretty much anybody they throw the ball to, from an opposition standpoint, has been a recurring issue.
That's true.
The pass defense has just been, I don't think porous covers it. Jimmy Garoppolo looks like a damn Hall of Famer.
I know.
He plays against this team, even with the two picks. And one of them he gave to the Cardinals, and they couldn't fully take advantage of it. 602-260-9870 is the phone number. Ryan in Phoenix is up next here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, you guys. Thank you so much for taking my phone call. You know, in looking at yesterday's loss, it was definitely disappointing because, you know, you had to feel encouraged about the way that they started out at the beginning of the game. The offense really got it rolling, got out to a 16-0 lead, but it's super frustrating also at the same time, also because you continue to see a defensive meltdown there on the last play of the game with the Niners going in and scoring. But really, I think that's been the story of our season. I mean, the defense has not been able to deliver in crucial situations, and I think outside of the Giants game, you've seen that they haven't been able to give the offense more opportunities, especially, for example, against the two games versus the 49ers. I mean, at least if we would have at least maybe melted the clock off a little bit more there, that would have been better. But I think that it also has to do with a lot of the talent that the guys have on defense. And I think outside of guys like Chandler Jones, Buda Baker, Patrick Peterson, and Jordan Hicks, with all due respect, there's not a lot of talent or even depth on this defense. I mean, you at least have some guys that have shown a lot of potential in Byron Murphy, Jalen Thompson, and Deontay Thompson. But at the same time, you've also seen them go through some growing pains throughout the season. But that's what happens when you're a rookie coming into the NFL. But moving forward, I know we have the bye week coming up, and then we have 5 games left in the season. My question for this Cardinals team is, what are they going to do with 5 games left? And my hope is that they finish with a winning record of 3 wins or more. I know it's kind of crazy to think that now, but it would definitely be a huge boost of confidence, maybe to build off of something going into next season. But even if they win 2 wins, I will still be happy. But my main thing is that I would really like to see an upset win. And I think also the reason why this game was super disappointing as well was because it's a game against the 49ers, which obviously, I mean, they're one of the top teams in the NFC, if not the entire NFL. And we've played them super tough these last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But I'm really hoping that they can get an opportunity to beat one tough team. But Last thing I also wanted to say, too, I just wanted to make sure I got this off my chest. A few weeks ago, after the Saints game, I called in, and I just wanted to apologize to you guys of making myself a complete fool. I was trying to be too overly funny with a Gambo skit, but I just wanted to apologize to you guys for doing that.
No apology necessary.
What Gambo skit was it? What Gambo skit?
You're going to ask him to relive it now?
No.
It was the one, remember the Gambo Gumbo skit. That was the one. And I just wanted to apologize to you guys. I didn't mean to.
Do you have any other Gambo skits you want to throw out there, man?
I don't know, man, but hey, I do appreciate you guys taking my phone call. You know, you guys really and truly are the best, and, I'm super, super thankful for you guys. You make me super proud to be the Valley sports fan that I am, and wish you guys the best moving forward. Hopefully we talk again in the next couple of weeks. But until next time, happy Thanksgiving to you and your guys' family. Thanks. And I wish you all the best moving forward.
Thank you, Ryan. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I kept waiting for some shoe to drop at the end of that. I thought he just kept setting something up. I thought he was kind of playing us to hit us with something on the way
out. Very polite.
Just some good old-fashioned boot licking.
That's what that was, yeah. Good thing I don't wear boots.
Well, look, as proof by Ryan's most recent call, we don't like to cut people off, but we had to cut off the Gambo Gumbo skit.
Well, you remember it was like the beginning of his call, and it was like kept going and going, and he was like making a pot of gumbo, and this ingredient was that, and he was trying to do Gambo's voice.
Uh-huh.
Get to your point.
Hey, sometimes, you try some stuff, like a zero blitz late in the game, and it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
Like working out is
exactly.
Like failed groundlings material, like on the air.
Let's go to Brian and Mesa, who's up next on this Big Red Monday. Hey, Brian. That's my bad. I apologize. Let's go to Randy at Surprise. He's up next.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Randy.
Thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, my opinion is that, everybody's blaming Steve Keim because there's no talent on the defense. Well, you don't make it to the NFL without any talent, okay? First of all. And second of all, the New England Patriots go to the Super Bowl every year without having any talent. I think it's more of a nobody's held accountable. If everybody had each other's backs out there rather than just playing for themselves, I think they would be all right. It starts with coaching. Starts with the coaching. Though. I mean, Bill Belichick doesn't allow that to happen, for one. He's taken teams with less talent than the Cardinals
have to
the Super Bowls.
Yeah, listen, I'm going to give you a differing viewpoint. But you're right about Bill Belichick, but I would suggest that Bill Belichick is a better talent evaluator than he is a head coach. I would almost believe that. And that's saying something. His secondaries are unreal. He always has the pieces he needs, and he has smart players, real smart football players that can adapt to the coaching. It's never coaching first, not in any professional sport.
No, and I shy away from using Bill Belichick and the Patriot system as a bar. Like, why can't this coaching staff be more like the greatest coach that's ever lived? Why can't they just do that on a day in, day out basis?
Yeah. What's stopping him, man?
Because he's the exception.
The unicorn. Yeah.
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 He's the exception.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Okay. Yeah. So let's just, I would say that is, that's faulty logic. Now, in terms of Steve Keim and the level of talent, I would say it's clearly a mixture of both. I know we give Steve Keim a pass for Robert Kimdichie, but all of those first-round draft picks that flamed, most great teams will have a couple of impact players from a series of six number one picks. You know what I mean? And this is just one little quibble with the failings of Steve Keim. I think yesterday was kind of a bottom-line game in terms of Hassan Reddick and what he can do and what he can't do for me.
Well, and that was you're leading me into a point I wanted to make, too. And somebody on Twitter yesterday, the Dwelly touchdown, the second one where he just came across the formation, and they even said it on the broadcast on television. Wow, they threw a lot at Hassan Reddick right there. They're going to throw a lot at you on every play.
Mm-hmm.
But it's his responsibility to cover the tight end, and he got distracted by the other guy crossing the other way. Ross Dwelly wasn't – there was nobody within 10 yards of him on that touchdown. My frustration at this point is, why are these assignment errors still happening at this point?
Why are they not getting better?
It's a combination of a lot of different things. Yes, it is coaching. It is scheme. It is talent. It's the player's ability to learn and soak things in. It's communication on the field. It's all of those things. But that's the frustrating part on the defensive side of the ball. That, yeah, they are in year one of this. But it's not like they just showed up on week one and got together for the first time and are playing football for the first time under this scheme. How complicated is this scheme that the same mistakes and the same assignment errors are still happening after 11 games? That's almost a full season of football.
Yeah, it's kind of like the gap integrity last year. It never stopped. The integrity never, it was breached. It was never shored up.
It had no integrity.
It had no, right, exactly. It had zero integrity.
602-260-9870 is the phone number. Scott in Scottsdale is up next here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Hi, Scott.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hi, good. Scott.
Hey, I'm a little confused. We got two or three ex-all pros, two solid defensive ends. Our corners are decent, possible all pros in Hicks and Baker. I mean, what do you need to make it? What more do you need to make a solid defense? I totally think it's the coordinator, and I don't think we're getting down on him enough. I think the talent is there. Maybe it's not at the level of the upper echelon teams, but it's good enough to be solid. So I'd like to hear what
solid, yes, but Scott, you've got, if you think Buda Baker and Jordan Hicks are playing at Pro Bowl level, you're not watching enough football. They're okay. They're better than the crew that has been routinely bad for the Cardinals, but they're not playing at Pro Bowl level. Jordan Hicks had a nice play yesterday.
He had a good game yesterday.
Yeah,
I thought he did.
Buda Baker flashed in the two games prior to yesterday. Yesterday, not so much.
Still had 13 tackles.
They had 13 tackles. Patrick Peterson still is just kind of eh. Even though
better yesterday.
Better yesterday. Not a lot of major mistakes yesterday. But, you know, when you compare them to playmakers on other teams, I think you'll see a little bit of a difference in terms of, and you look at the linebacker core, and I agree with you about Jordan Hicks. It was a good game for him. The linebacker core is struggling. The ability to stop the run, they've certainly gotten better at that. The ability to cover tight ends, they've never fixed that issue. So that issue apparently can't be fixable via talent or scheming, which is hard to accept when you're talking about Ross Dwelly. I mean, come on.
I had not heard of Ross Dwelly before the first game on Halloween night.
No, of course not. I mean, it's kind of comical. There were times when the Cardinals' defense was bad in the past when they were a proving ground for backup running backs.
Here's the list of touchdowns by tight ends this year. Greg Olsen, 2. Mark Andrews, Hayden Hurst, T.J. Hockenson, Will Disley, Austin Hooper, Rhett Ellison, George Kittle, O.J. Howard, Ross Dwelly with 2. 12 touchdowns to tight ends.
Yeah.
29 touchdown passes given up in 11 games. Not going to win many games with that.
No. No, you're not. Of course not.
Let's go out to Tom in Phoenix here on Big Red Monday. Tom, what do you got for us?
Well, speaking of Gambo, I'm going to address the elephant in the room. We got to call Gambo up, tell him to fire up the limo. I'm not kidding. Vance Joseph needs to go. He's got the front row. Hassan Reddick, I don't need him on my team. He needs to go. And then a third player that Kyler Murray can name, whatever player that Kyler wants off the team. I mean, this is just pathetic. I mean, it's how can we possibly think we can move forward with Vance Joseph as our defensive coordinator? I mean, you want to trust him with a bunch of new free agents for next year? I mean, why not just fire him today? And just get started with something different, because what he's doing isn't working. I mean, and it's not like he's one of Cliff's guys. I mean, he was a separate hire by Kime. And let's just face it, one out of every three decisions Kime makes is going to be awful. Two out of three is going to be okay, but you know, one out of three is going to be awful. So we just need to basically get a new defensive coordinator and pick up some talent for next year, because right now he's costing us at least getting to overtime in about three different games just by his defensive play calls.
Yeah, listen, there's a tapestry of blame on the defensive side, as I've said repeatedly today.
Tapestry of blame.
Really, that's a good name for a band, too, right? Right. There's a tapestry of blame for, and it's not a good-looking tapestry either. It's kind of lugubrious, which is...
which is the first single off of Tapestry of Blame's first album.
No, I'm throwing that out there because I think it was a poll question on Twitter, asked, describe the Cardinals in one word. And the first response was lugubrious, which I thought was outstanding. It means with touches of sadness.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's kind of, well, that's kind of,
I don't know if that, I don't know if touches of sadness covers it.
Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it doesn't.
Melancholy.
I look forward to going and seeing some of those other responses.
Yeah.
The Cardinal season in one, because Welp will be showing up quite frequently.
Yeah, we haven't even touched on that yet.
We'll have to get into that story
as well, the David Johnson story or lack thereof. Let's squeeze in one more here in this segment of callers. Bo in Gilbert is up next here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Hi, Bo.
Good afternoon. Bickley, I don't understand half those words you just said.
Me neither.
I'm with the last caller. Vance Joseph has got to go. You don't go 11 weeks without learning how to cover a tight end or a screen pass. I mean, high school coaches figure that out. And since when do you have the best pass rusher with the most sacks in the league this year covering a tight end over the middle?
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense to me.
Or a backup running back, as it was with...
Yeah, with Jeff Wilson.
Exactly.
Jeff
Wilson.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, listen, I'm not arguing with that. That Chandler Jones should not be covering guys in space with the game online.
No, I agree. And Bo, we appreciate the phone call. And I know there's frustration, and we haven't heard the last of people that are going to say Vance Joseph needs to go, and they'll point to the Mike McCoy example last year.
Can I throw some out there?
Can I just finish my thought real quick? And that is, firing a coach or a coordinator, if you're expecting change at that point, improvement at that point, I think the examples of improvement when that goes down are very few and far between.
Yeah.
It's more symbolic than anything else. Hey, we don't like where this is going. We're going to change things. It happened with McCoy when they handed the reins to Leftwich last year. Didn't get any better.
It's
only symbolic, but that might be enough to satisfy some people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't think there's a lot of value for that, because the contempt for Vance Joseph right now is such that David Johnson is getting a free pass out of this, and we're going to have to get into him. I'm going to make my point about Chandler Jones in maybe when we come back. How about that?
All right, I like it.
Okay.
Join Paul Calvisi and the Arizona Sports promo team tomorrow from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. at the Safeway on Frank Lloyd Wright and Raintree in North Scottsdale. You'll have the chance to become the Redbird Farms Fan of the Game, meet Paulie Pigskin, and win some prizes. Visit the events page at arizonasports.com for complete details. Yeah, the David Johnson decoy theory. We'll get into that next. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Before we move on to David Johnson, do you want to hear my Chandler Jones theory really quickly?
Yes, please.
All right, what if, because here's the point you got to keep in mind, and I'm not defending Vance Joseph at all, but if we're talking about that play, the game-winning play to a backup running back who ran a great route out of the backfield on a zero blitz, okay? You heard Vance Joseph's explanation, which was kind of mealy-mouthed and kind of all over the map here, as if Chandler Jones decided to peel out and cover that running back. What if that zero blitz of bringing two secondary members up the middle of the field, what if that play was so perfectly designed that Chandler Jones, on his way to rushing the passer, realized, holy crap, this dude is going to be wide open for a touchdown, and then tried to peel off because he's that smart? Is that a possibility? Is it a possibility that Chandler Jones wasn't even part of some strategic deployment, that he made that call knowing that a zero blitz meant there was nobody back there, and this guy just took a hard right and is peeling out into space?
I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. I also think it's out of the realm of possibility we'll ever get the answer on that.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a possibility, and I think it kind of tempers the criticism of Vance Joseph to the people who say, why would you have, and I'm one of those people, I'm just trying to reconcile what I'm hearing from Vance Joseph after the game with what I saw, which was Chandler Jones peeling off to cover a running back he can't even cover on his best day. And I'm like, what is going, maybe Chandler Jones in a minute of acute awareness said,
yeah, like,
holy, yeah,
I got to do this.
Oh man, I got, because we are hosed. It's a possibility. Now, that doesn't absolve Vance Joseph or this defense because they've been really bad at end games consistently. All right, let's move on to David Johnson.
Welp.
Well, see you later.
Dot,
Welp.
Dot, dot.
Welp.
W-E-L-P. That's not the name of a radio station. It might be, actually, somewhere east of the Mississippi.
We might be working there tomorrow.
Bickley and Marotta, Welp. W-E-L-P.
Don't miss a minute on Welp.
Welp, I need somebody. That was David Johnson. I guess you could call it cryptic, but last 12:31 a.m. tweeted Welp, dot, dot, dot. 179 retweets, 1,200 likes. Not a whole lot of insight behind it, but you kind of get the feel of it.
Oh, yeah.
Running back by committee. David Johnson had a great week of practice.
According to Steve Keim.
9 snaps, 0 touches.
Okay. Wow.
0 touches.
Wow.
In a game where they were once up by 16 points.
And used, as you pointed out in a text to me yesterday, as a decoy.
A $13 million decoy.
Everything was read, pass, option, decoy for David Johnson. It was to the point where them not giving him a touch was a statement, in my opinion. And I think it was a very simple opinion the Cardinals were stating. That no matter who you think you are, David Johnson, what you are right now is not better than Kenyon Drake. And that alone shows you how far this guy has fallen. No, nothing against Kenyon Drake, who brings a lot to the table.
Well, I mean, last week, and I expressed some frustration with the constant, and now I see the error of my ways, because it was a question last week, what are you going to see from David Johnson? All indications were he would be integrated somewhat into this week's game plan.
Take advantage of all that anger and that fury that he was feeling.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, okay.
He had 5 touches the week before, right. 6. And I know he fumbled, but you got to prove a point.
Yeah.
It didn't make much sense not to employ him at all, in my opinion. Because if you're looking to the future and you are identifying now that David Johnson is not part of your future, you should be trying to give him opportunities to where he can wash away some of the negative optics he's provided this year.
But he's been given those opportunities, and he won't do it.
I didn't see any opportunities yesterday.
Not yesterday. Yesterday was the very blatant, we've given you opportunities to show it. We're not just going to give you precious carries and touches against a good 49ers team when you have stunk.
I mean,
and that's my word. That's an opinion.
Yeah.
I'm not stating that as fact.
But, and I know this is not a new trend, but David Johnson was made an example of last week. Did that example carry over this week? I mean, Max Williams dropped a crucial pass. It could have been a touchdown last week. He was given an opportunity late in the game.
Because Max Williams plays hard.
Keyshawn Johnson had a big fumble yesterday in a situation where the Cardinals, yeah, chances are slim they're going to come back and get points on that drive with such little time left. Uh-huh. He'll be given opportunities moving forward.
Keyshawn Johnson made a lot of mistakes.
Hassan Reddick is consistently on the field after coverage errors. I mean, if you want to move away from David Johnson, you have to find a trade partner. That is the only way to minimize the blow.
To me, not getting any touches yesterday, well, it doesn't jibe with what Steve Keim said, that he had a great week of practice, showed a lot of energy, all that. Because if that were true, Cliff Kingsbury would have given him the ball. Wouldn't he have?
I mean, they ran Kenyon Drake 16 times. Not an overwhelming workload. They threw the ball 33 times. They ran it a total of 25. I still don't think that's the ideal run pass numbers for the Cardinals. But when you consider it, they had a 16-point lead at one point. That kind of opens up all possibilities.
Yeah.
And I know that 16-point lead didn't last long because San Francisco came and scored right away. I was perplexed by it, and I guess maybe if they were going to throw some token touches David Johnson's way, they figured, why even bother? If He's going to tiptoe to the line. I don't know the thinking behind it. Cliff Kingsbury was asked about it yesterday in his post-game presser. Zero touches for David Johnson. What is he not showing you at this point?
It's not as much what he's not showed us. KD, like I said, played really well against him the first game, if you remember. And so we wanted to get him going again in this game versus them.
Okay.
No, I mean,
but
that
was a departure from the running back by committee.
Well, listen, but what it does is it. I think this is really a deep insight into what the Cardinals are trying to do to get this across to David Johnson. And I think the no touches yesterday was probably a football team throwing up their arms and not being able to communicate to a guy about what we need you to do to get better. And I think David Johnson on Twitter confirmed that. By reacting to a benching without being benched yesterday with a whelp, as if, wow, I didn't see that coming.
I didn't.
Really?
I mean,
didn't see that coming?
I noticed it more in the first. I don't think David Johnson got on the field in the second half.
He didn't.
Yeah.
He did not. And listen, and I'm with you. Being somebody who was accused of saying that I wanted David Johnson to have 20 carries, which I most assuredly didn't, I would have liked to have seen one. I would have liked to have seen if he looked as slow as he has looked recently. And I think in that game, Cliff Kingsbury didn't want to see it.
Wouldn't that be the equivalent, though, of like a basketball player who was once in your rotation and you throw him 30 seconds at the end of a blowout? Just giving a guy one carry? I don't know. They did do this. They answered the question, but they opened up a whole new can of, a whole new bag of questions about David Johnson moving forward.
If you've got a guy who is not... Yeah, okay, we got a break.
Yeah.
there's plenty more time
we got plenty of time to get into that. The Valley is becoming the Motor City in 2020, and Arizona Sports is giving you an opportunity to win the Detroit Rock City package. Text KISS to 620-620 right now, and you'll be entered to win two tickets to see the Suns host the Pistons in February, two tickets to see the Red Wings versus the Coyotes in March, and two tickets to see Rock and Roll Hall of Famers Gene Simmons
and
from KISS perform in their newly announced End of the Road Tour at Ak Chin Pavilion on September 29th, 2020. Just text KISS to 620-620 to answer. Coming up, Big Red Poetry Slam and a look at some of the positives for the Cardinals heading into the bye week. We'll get into that next. It's Bickley and Murata on this Big Red Monday, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Murata's Big Red Poetry Slam.
Oh, yes. My brothers and sisters, thank you again for gathering here. I'm sorry to say that if anybody took my beret, give it back. I paid nearly $2 at a thrift store for that. Now, I will recap the Cardinals game in poetry form here with a Big Red Poetry Slam. Here we go. Has it been 1 week or two? Because I have deja vu. After a loss to the same Niners foe. Now, I know they were away, over there by the bay. And that game made me shout sour dope! At first you couldn't tell, because it started so well. The O was good and so was the D. And each Niners blunder made me stop and wonder, which one of these teams leads the NFC? But don't relax, I've learned, because the tide quickly turned, and that 16-point lead was gone. The riled-up fans and the city of San Fran hasn't been this excited since Full House was on. And wouldn't you know, the same problems showed again and again and again. What Jimmy G did was like a Montana Young hybrid, and Ross Dweller looked like a Hall of Fame tight end. And then there's Dave. Can his career be saved? 'Cause his struggles, you just cannot hide. No carries, few snaps. Makes you wonder, perhaps, if things actually ended better for Bonnie and Clyde. So we're here at the bye, and we're wondering why. They aren't good, and what can be helped? To summarize the feelings of the Redbirds with only one word, well, I guess I'd have to say, welp.
My favorite part of this week's poem is when Jarrett tried to combine the 49ers tight end with a Friends character and,
yes.
made him Ross Dweller.
I know. I realized that I was reading it.
My assertion on this is that you couldn't read your own handwriting.
Well,
am I right?
Even from a different studio, you know me too well.
I do. I am way ahead of you here.
Speaking of which, we've been told by one of our loyal listeners that Welp is actually a religious station in South Carolina.
Is it really?
WELP.
So we won't be working there tomorrow?
Yeah, yeah. No, we will not. No, we will not. I know you teased something about positives from yesterday's game. I'm not in the mood for that. So I'm really not.
Hey, that's fine.
Okay, so but what I do want to talk about is Megan Johnson has resurfaced on social media, the wife of David Johnson, on Instagram, tweeted out a picture of David holding their young son, and writes this: in 8 football seasons, that was one of the hardest things I've ever had to watch. So much talent, in caps, on a bench. We love you, David Johnson. Okay. I would say this very respectfully to Mrs. Johnson. This is a very difficult thing your husband's going through as a professional athlete. These are the rules. This is how it goes. Okay.
This is not the first guy this has happened to.
Not the first guy it happened to. Your husband received a gigantic contract that turns out to be very player-friendly, and this is kind of the downside of all of that. And it would be best, I would believe, to stay out of that fray, because that's not going to be received well. Because you're accusing the Cardinals of benching your husband out of spite, effectively.
Basically, and let me say this, what she wrote on that social media post,
yeah,
I agree with it 100%.
There's so much talent on a bench.
That was hard to watch.
Yeah.
We know he's filled with talent.
Uh-huh. Or he was.
It's very difficult. And I'm rooting for David Johnson. Still, I would love to see him turn around his career. But yeah, the bottom line is, doesn't matter if it's a wife, an uncle, a buddy, a father, whoever.
It's not a good look. It doesn't help.
You can be supportive of a loved one without hitting send.
That's exactly right. And this is the thing that's very, very difficult for spouses and friends and uncles and all that stuff, is that criticism of athletes in high leverage situations, it's not personal. But for people who love that person, it is perceived as being very personal. I know, because sometimes when trolls come at me real, real hard, people who are my friends and people I live with get irrationally angry. And I've got to remind them, it's part of the business.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it, okay? I tell all the time, what people say about me behind my back is none of my business. It's a great way to live.
But if it's on social media, is it behind your back?
No.
If they tag you on it, is it behind your back?
Behind your back, in front of your face.
Right, exactly.
I've never been one to Twitter search my own name, nor will I ever do that.
But you've never Google searched your own name?
No, Google search I've
done
it.
Okay, yeah. Twitter search, you'd have to be an idiot.
Yeah. You know how many people do that?
You'd have to be an idiot. You're asking to be unhappy.
Pretty much every college football player Twitter searches his own name.
So, look, David Johnson and what he's not bringing to the football field, I think, came to a head yesterday with Cliff Kingsbury saying, no, I'm not giving him a touch. I don't trust him.
Which, okay, you're the head coach. I get it. But you lost the game.
Mm-hmm.
You lost the game.
Because of your defense. Your offense scored enough points.
Well, no, not for this defense.
Well, that's true. you're right. That's, but what's interesting to me now, okay, is I never saw this scenario playing out, but I do think this is the shame of it all. You got a head coach now who had all of his assistants handed to him.
Mm-hmm.
And Cliff was not very happy yesterday.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Good.
We can maybe explore that a little bit later on. But that's an interesting topic to get into, certainly. And I hadn't thought of it until you just said it, but it just sparked all these thoughts in my head.
Yeah.
We're halfway through on this Big Red Monday. Cliff Kingsbury will join us in the 1 o'clock hour. But right straight ahead, it's the Bickley Blast. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.